If you have a question for Dave and Tom to respond to in the future Contending for the Faith, stay with us. We'll provide our contact information at the end of the program. You are listening to Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. Now our final segment, Understanding the Scriptures, and we resume our excursion through the book of Acts. Here again are Dave and Tom.
This is our Understanding the Scriptures segment. We're in the book of Acts. We're in Acts chapter 17. And Dave, I think we got a little past verse 22, but I'd like to go back just sets a little better context of what we're going to be talking about. So this is Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you."
Well, Tom, why would he say they're too superstitious? I mean, they've got a bunch of gods. Unknown God is just one more. Paul is pointing out it's a little bit ridiculous. How many gods are there? There are a number of concepts of God. Pantheism, you can forget about it. God is everything, therefore everything is God. Therefore, there is no God. I mean, there's no distinction between God and a bush. So God really isn't God.
Mm-hmm. And if there's anything out there with a problem, and it's God, and God's got a problem.
Right, exactly. And God is also a sinner. Sinners are God, too. But then we have Islam, which says Allah is a single entity. Now we have people who call themselves Christians, Jesus-only people, who they deny the Trinity. They agree with Islam when they deny the Trinity, because Islam, the Quran, says you believe in the Trinity, you go straight to hell. And interestingly, that's one place where the Jews and the Muslims agree. They say Yahweh, Jehovah, he's a single entity as well, okay? So both the Muslims and the Jews and the United Pentecostal Church and so forth, God is one, a single entity. Now you have a basic problem. You have unity, but you have no diversity. That means that before God created any other beings, he couldn't experience love, fellowship, communion. He was all alone. Before he could love anyone, he had to create somebody else. But the Bible says the Father loves the Son and has committed all things into his hands. The Bible says God is love. But anyway, on the other end of the scale, you have the situation Paul was facing here in Athens. Polytheism. Many gods. Well, you have diversity, but you have no unity.
Right. And for anyone who remembers their Greek mythology or Roman mythology, these gods couldn't get along. I mean, they were always after each other.
That's right. Stealing one another's wives, fighting wars, and so forth. So you have diversity, but you have no unity. There must be unity and diversity. Now, a philosopher would join in saying that. Philosophically, it's sound. Well, the Bible says there is unity and diversity. Unity in diversity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. And, you know, we've been over it, I think, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, where it says, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh, our Elohim, is one Yahweh." And the Jews, this is called the Shema. This is what every Jew learns. See there, God is one. He's a single individual. No, the word for one there is echad. It means a unity. And you would get that, I think, the first time we get it in the Bible is in Genesis 2:24, where God created Eve out of Adam's rib. He brought them together, and it says the two became one, one flesh, echad. Or you have it in a number of other places. Here's a bunch of soldiers. They joined together. They became echad, one troop. Okay, so echad is a unity. So what God is saying is, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh," that's I am that I am. "Our Elohim," that's a plural form of Hebrew that means at least three. Yahweh, our Elohim, is one. Echad is a unity. One Yahweh. Okay, so these people are too superstitious, because they don't even have the right God. They've got gods that fight one another. And now they think, well, who knows, there might be another one. Well, let's worship him. Let's have an altar to him, too. Hey, guys, you're overdoing it. Let me declare the God you don't know to you. Mm-hmm.
And he does. Verse 24, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Tom, that's too much for us to talk about briefly, but you've got an awful lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Neither is he worshipped with men's hands. He doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need anything, Paul says. But what is the basis of religion? Tom, everywhere, you were raised a Catholic.
Dave, these verses just jump right out at me. We had God in a tabernacle, and then God in a piece of bread, and then God to be worshipped within a monstrance.
But how did you worship him? Good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many commandments are there? And you bring your gifts and so forth. And, of course, if you were into Hinduism, they bring food
mm-hmm.
for the gods
mm-hmm.
to eat. And these people did the same.
Right. But you see that this host, right. in which supposedly the priests transubstantiated right. the body and blood, soul and divinity of right. Jesus Christ, that's bread made with hands. So obviously a direct contradiction to the scripture.
Well, but they say it's a miracle, you see. And
but it's still made with hands.
But, Tom, we have a problem because mm-hmm. how many millions of these pieces of bread would there be on display at the same time in Catholic churches around the world? Each one of them is Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
whole and entire, soul and spirit, divinity, and so forth. Now, that is,
it's mystagogy, Dave.
It's
mystery that we were told.
Right. Anyway, Paul is just laying it out. It's very simple. Look, if God made the heavens and the earth,
mm-hmm.
and they're not even sure about that, which God made the heavens and the earth, but this is the only way it can be. You can't look at the universe around you and see the marvels of the universe. It didn't create itself. Yeah, a child can look up at the sky and say, hey, the sun couldn't have been there forever because it's just a giant fire. I don't care how big a fire is, it will burn out someday.
Mm-hmm.
And the same is true of all the stars. So they couldn't have been there forever. Forever is a long time. No matter how big the fire is, before forever comes, it will have burned out. So you know that the universe hasn't always been here. It didn't just happen out of thin air. It didn't just create itself. So Paul is just saying, everybody knows the God who made the heavens and the earth, okay? That's who God is. Well, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He's not worshipped with men's hands. He doesn't need anything from us, but you think that you're going to gain points with God, and in case that's not the real God, then you've got another God, and well, let's give him a little service and so forth. And you're trying to appease all these gods with your works. The Bible, well, Tom, we've been over it a number of times, but it pays to go over it again. Remember in Romans 3, Paul argues it very clearly. He says, by the deeds of the law, no flesh can be justified. If you've broken the law, you can't say to the judge, well, if you let me off this time, I promise you, Scout's Honor, I'll never break the law again. The judge says, if you never break the law again, you're only doing what the law requires. You don't get extra credit for that. Now, what do we do about the fact you already broke the law? So Paul says, you can't justify yourself by keeping the law, by doing good deeds. And this God, he doesn't need anything from you. What are you going to give the creator of the universe? What could you possibly give him that he needs so that in return he will give you forgiveness or whatever? So you cannot fault the logic of Paul here. And he's reasoning with them. And then he goes on and he's going to talk about, this is an amazing verse, Tom, verse 26. He has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now, people didn't know that. We got different colors, red and yellow, black and white. We used to sing the song in Sunday school, all are precious in his sight. And there are dark people, there are light-skinned people, there are people of different shades, you know, and so forth. well, they must have different blood. That was what they used to think. But it's not true. Well, you know, you can get a blood transfusion from a Japanese or an Eskimo or an African or whatever. And furthermore, when you reduce it down to plasma, which is what they use in the battlefield generally, that is the same everywhere. Okay, so how did Paul know he made of one blood all men to dwell on the face of the earth? And he has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That's interesting. When did that happen? Well, that happened. Yeah,
what does that mean, Dave? Does that mean we're here in Bend, Oregon? Is this the bounds of our habitation? Is this where God, in this day and time, this is where he wanted you or me? Or?
Tom, this is one of the verses in the Bible that you could come up with a number of interpretations for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope you have some, Dave, because we're out of time.
Right.
We'll have to come back to that.
Mm-hmm. But there, you have a verse in the Old Testament, for example, that says he set the nations by Israel, mm-hmm. and they're in certain places. That's where he wanted them to be. And it's not good for the nations to try to mix with one another because they're going to have problems. Or it could mean he's not going to let us live on the moon or on Mars. Anyway, we'll have to come back and talk about that.
Dave and Tom will resume their discussion on the topic of salvation next week. We hope you can tune in. This is Search the Scriptures Daily, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. And now, to tell you more about our ministry, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
The name the Berean Call is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 10 and 11, where we find the Apostle Paul entering the synagogue in the Greek city of Berea after he had just come from Thessalonica. To these Bereans, he preached that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah sent from God. They were commended for being noble or fair-minded, not only for their willingness to hear what Paul had to say about the matter, but more specifically, because they searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether or not what the apostle was saying was found in God's Word. That's what we hope to encourage through this ministry. Our prayer is that we can be used of God to stimulate Christians to look to the Bible alone as their rule of faith, authority, and practice in living lives pleasing to our Lord and Savior. Gary?
Would you like to expand your knowledge of God's Word? We offer a wide variety of items that will greatly assist you. From books and tracts to audio and video recordings, CD-ROM, our website, and much more. For a complete list of materials or to get a copy of today's broadcast, write to us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us at our toll-free order number 877-882-4253. That's 877-88-BIBLE. Or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org. If you would like a copy of this broadcast on tape or compact disc, ask for program number 5306. And be sure to mention the call letters of this station. And now, if you would like to watch Dave and Tom, our weekly broadcast is available on DVD. Ask about a subscription when you contact us. You can also download both audio and video podcast at our website. If you receive television programming from Sky Angel, you'll be able to view Dave Hunt's video, A Woman Rides the Beast, on January 13th, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. We invite you to tune in. Get a pen or pencil ready. We'll repeat our contact information in just a moment. Next week, we'll continue our series of programs based on Dave Hunt's book, When Will Jesus Come? And What is the Gospel of the Kingdom? In Religion in the News, The Inspirations of Mr. Yancey. We'll take a look at that story and address the question, should you be tithing? We hope you can join us. If you have questions or comments about this program, we urge you to contact our offices. Search the Scriptures Daily Radio Ministry is made possible by God's grace, your prayers, and your financial support. I'm Gary Carmichael, and for Dave, Tom, and everyone here at the Berean Call, I would like to thank you for tuning in and invite you to join us again next week. Until then, if you desire to know God's truth, search the Scriptures daily. For more information about the Berean Call, write to us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon 97708. Call us toll-free at our order number 877-882-4253. That's 877-88-BIBLE. Or visit our website at www.thebereancall.org.